go for it.
All right. And I'm going to highly adjust the schedule today, or our agenda rather, if I can use that. We have our new mayor who has joined us, and we'll ask you for a comment or two in a few minutes. Thank you for coming, and really appreciate you being here. I'll have more to say about that in a minute. And also, I've been informed, I don't think we're going to have neither of our conservation groups joining us tonight. There is interest from both in joining us in February. They will have action items in that. But I think both are involved in the issue of the day, which for many of us in Heber Valley.
It's coming up slowly. Yeah,
the announcement was made today about the DOT bypass selection. And it is, if you're familiar with that, we've talked in generalities about that recently, but they have picked their preferred alternative. If you can go online and get the big printout from UDOT, there's a half an hour professionally done explanation that goes into detail on the what and the where and the why and cost factors. There's accompanying written data about both of those and a map that's clear. But I think it'll come up in our meeting anyway, and I just assume let's talk about that now because it is an issue of the day.
I have an email on it, but Steve, could you give me the website, the what you're looking at right now, and I'll just go to that. Sorry.
And Mayor, for your understanding, Steve is the Midway representative on the Wasatch County Open Lands Board. Okay? And of course, that has everything to do with today's activities, either directly or indirectly. Both of our conservation organizations that we work with have landowners that they are working on and working with to try and minimize the impact of this as it moves forward. If you could get the map first, that might be the most helpful. Okay. So I thought to get us started on this important item, and we'll just kick it around the table. We're not going to be taking, of course, any positions or anything else as a group. That's inappropriate. But we thought that we should go ahead. Steve, if you could bring us up to speed with what you know, and then we'll kick in some information as we move forward. I would add parenthetically, we have talked previously about if there is an opportunity in the future in our work in Midway to cross the river and to get involved with landowners in terms of some preservation of those lands there. That is the closest that we have in our discussions talking about that. And of course, several things have to happen in order for that to move. But that has been a subject that we have talked about. And that might play into some of the things we might be interested in down the road as all this plays out. Finally, there are going to be two public open houses at the end of January for citizen and special interest involvement that'll be over at, I don't even know where it is. That's probably the
I think that
and
the fire station. I can't remember one or the other.
So with that, Steve, is a little bit of an introduction. Can you come up front and show us and explain some things, and then we'll start kicking it around the table. Thank you.
I don't have much more. I think Nancy's probably more up to speed. I tried to speak with Luke Searle.
Okay.
Who was also at CAPS today.
We
had places to go right afterwards.
Talked with Michael, and I sat in on the pre-announcement meeting that UDOT put on.
Interesting.
With us, so that it was with a couple people here. They asked for it to just be planning and county managers, but there were elected officials on there. Mayor Franco was on there. All of Heber was on there. You name the person in Heber they were on. The county, it was just the county manager, and for us, it was just the planning department, I think, that was on. And they spent about an hour. I mean, they went through both plans, you know, potential plans, but what they basically said, this is a more expensive plan that they're going with. But it's the only, they think it's the only way that's going to be a long-term solution for the traffic problem. And that traffic flow is so much better with that. They went through kind of the pros and cons of each one in their eyes and what they did. But they just kept coming back to this. And Mayor Franco had a lot of dismay and questions about this, obviously, since it's... And she asked a couple of things that were discussed this morning. One, they represented that there will only be 3 points of access, and they said they don't plan to move off of that. So the 3 points of access would basically be, move that down. Hold on. Oops. Very touchy. Okay. Do it that way. Okay. So obviously you're going to have a point of access here. You're going to have one up top. One, you'd be able to come over from, this is 900 near Smith's. You'd be able to come get on a ramp here. You'd obviously have the ramp up high here. And then the other one would be down, they said, 113.
Yeah.
But obviously there's a way to then get over to 40 as well. And they're saying they're pretty committed to staying with 3 access points because it was concern, okay, is this just the start of Bypass Central and Heber that we're just going to start putting more and more? And they said, no, we're pretty committed to just keeping it that. The mayor asked if they would be willing to put something in writing saying that they would, and they nicely dodged that one. There were also a lot of concerns about all the wetlands that they're going through in the North Fields, right? And it's obviously wetlands. There's no way around that by Camille. They said, we're going to be forced to do wetland mitigation. And they said, it's at least a 1-to-1. They expect it's going to be even higher than that.
It'll be 2-to-1.
At least 2-to-1 or 3-to-1. Mm-hmm. They said they're prepared for that and they're willing to do that, is what they said.
Sorry.
Right? It's kind of hard to, that's a lot.
I'm so bummed.
Yeah, so this honestly, this wasn't a big surprise. It wasn't a big surprise.
I was hoping for
it. Right, it's like everybody would, not a big surprise. They did say there were questions about, okay, what's the timeline on this? And you've got this budgeted at $760 million or something. But you know, prices are going up all the time. So what, and they said that all UDOT money is committed through 2031, which is something Wendy has told us before.
Yep.
So it won't even be funded till 2031. So they're saying, so it's kind of like, okay, you're not doing this to be in time for the Olympics. That's not gonna happen unless they reprioritize funding. I mean, they do have funding and they're obviously funding projects out to 2031. They're saying, okay, nothing's going to happen till then. I find it hard to believe that they can't reprioritize funding. But
a lot of their funding is going to the Bangor Hot,
yeah.
And then there's 2 other ones, the Davis Corridor, and there's another one that multi-millions.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's a huge phase for so many.
So maybe they
can't.
Yeah. So maybe they're in the middle of those, and it's not something.
And that $750 million is very low ball.
Yeah, and they're not. And so that the question was asked: have you budgeted for inflation and for unexpected costs and other stuff? And it's like, no, we know that those exist, but no, they're not currently in the budget.
Not till they get close.
Not till they get close. What other questions came up?
Steve, can you talk a little bit about that North Corridor and what that will do visually, and what are some of the other things that you and your neighbors have talked about over the years up there?
Well, I think there's several things that are bothersome about it. Clearly, what it does is to widen that open space in between where the bypass will go to out to the west side there. If you move your over
this part
right there,
yeah,
and where if they had kept it close to the current road, that what that does is open up that space for development.
Yeah,
that's what I'm afraid of.
That is a big area.
Exactly what it's going to be. It's a huge deal. I know.
To me, that was probably the most salient point of having the plan B be the preferred route.
Yeah.
We'll have some impact on some areas that have already been approved to be conserved.
Yeah.
Cutting off part right at the bottom part there. It will not help a lot of the traffic that currently on 113 Main Street coming this way. So I don't know whether they addressed that this morning or not when we were talking
they
about
did,
it.
You know, this came up. Yeah, what they keep saying is that based on their traffic counts, most of the traffic is going from Park City over to Orem-Provo area.
Yeah,
so that they're going to be doing this. And that, you know, so they're not so much worried about stuff this side of where you get on the, they think that this is going to relieve.
Well, there's something wrong with that because they're putting a light in on SR 113 in that corner, and the reason why is
because of the
car count going into Midway. So how can you say it doesn't impact when...
I'm with you. Okay. I'm totally with you. But they kept coming back and saying that. And the other thing they're saying is obviously they're doing the expansion on 189 down to Orem. They're thinking that's also going to help with traffic, but that's going that way.
Yeah.
And the other thing this doesn't do at all is, I mean, the traffic here, especially in the summer, you know, there's no part that's built in for that.
Any other questions?
This is just a long-term planning problem.
I mean, a couple things. One, people come up here actually to see the open space.
Yeah.
I think that
absolutely
clearly identified. And this is really not going to help that at all.
Well, and so much of the traffic on Main Street that they're trying to alleviate is local traffic.
Thank you. Yeah, so glad to somebody say that besides me.
This started long ago with trying to get the trucks off, and it's more and more the local traffic.
Yeah.
And this isn't going to change
any of that. No.
I mean, what was your sense that you got talking with them? Because the discussion about this all started with this idea of, oh, there's all this traffic on Main Street and Hebert. And all this traffic is not from Main Street and Hebert. And then more than just Nancy.
It's a lot.
Have they kind of recognized that?
They're not touching that one. They're still, they're not touching that one. You know, hi, Woody, how are you? You know, my understanding of the history of this matter is that originally it was intended to go east, kind of over by Mill Road, then development was allowed, and that they even bought up a lot of it, and my understanding is that they're still talking about doing a limited bypass to the east over to the new temple, kind of along the road, just because they owned so much of it over to there, because that's where it was always intended to be. You know, it lines up better that way, too, you know, kind of in terms of where you're going down. Not if you're concerned about going west. But no, they're not moving off. No, they're not saying it's a local traffic problem. They're not saying that.
And what they said is the truck traffic, the big big wheels, will... Big wheels. Uinta Basin,
not what I remember a big wheel being.
Uinta Basin Railroad is going to be built now.
Yeah.
So that's going to take about 90% of those trucks off the road. They're going to go directly to North Salt Lake. Now, there are going to be some, but it's only at 5% right now. What is it going to drop to? You know what I mean? That's why I don't get... And when I ask them that, they give me no answer.
It's silence. It's crickets.
Oh, it's amazing.
Because it's just a really good... It gets everybody when they say it's those double tankers that are now going to be triple tankers, and they're...
So the unscientific...
Yes.
Review of this.
There was no science given. There was no science given this morning. No.
But there are more big trucks that are carrying fuel that way. Even if they take the train and take it over to Houston, which I think is the current plan, or at least over that.
Take over that way. You're right.
That it's really not going to have much of an impact.
Woody, I just want to bring you up speed. We decided to start with this
earlier today.
So just so we get this out of the way, it's a very important Heber Valley issue, and we thought we should get it out.
And
on
I
the
think
table.
That the EIS is open for comment until like
45
March 9th or something like that. And what they're saying is that they have to respond to any comment that's given, but that's all they have to do is respond. They don't have to change.
Thank you very much for your comment.
Thank you for your comment. Yeah, we're done here, right? So I don't expect this to change.
I don't care.
Well, there is a move potentially from people who have been involved with this for a long time, Dale Fung, apparently a high-powered attorney.
Yep, mm-hmm. I've heard that.
And yes. I just read that before I came here tonight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so those people have to decide whether
they're going
to put money to it and hopefully get some traction or say, we lost. And I haven't seen anything since.
Yeah, I haven't either.
My guess is that's also part of the reason for the 5-year gap in funding.
Yeah.
Bring on the litigation.
Bring on the litigation.
When I apply for a grant for UDOT, it's always 2 years ahead. So if I apply in 2025, I get the money in 2027. The 26, you get to do the engineering, and then you build it in 2026. And that's kind of how they do it.
Yeah.
It's a smaller, but if you have a huge project, usually it's 3 years out. So that's just the way it is.
So this is a super huge project.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for kicking that around. I'm sure there's all kinds of things more to come. I know in your official capacity you guys have some handcuffs on, but if there's information you want to share just about the facts and the meetings and one thing and another, things are coming up. So we encourage you to go online and look at all this information because it's quite complicated and very, very important. Okay.
Are we starting the meeting now?
We are starting the meeting now. So welcome everybody.
You are so on time.
We would never start without you.
And Mayor, we welcome you to join us. We're glad that you were able to come today and get a little bit of a feel for where we have been and what we have done. I did deliver to him our minutes from December, which you all have in front of you, where we went into some detail, which we're going to continue to talk about today, about our plans for 2026. And in the spirit of that, we would like to be able to have a city council get together at the appropriate time in the near term. That may be after we put some of our plans together that we'd like to present to you in a public way. We also thought it might be worth having a work session, a good old-fashioned roll up our sleeves and get some feedback from you about where we're going. In the middle of the second page of the minutes are those important details that we're going to talk about later today, where we actually list projects and properties. And part of the momentum, Mayor, is it's everything to do with the fact that the federal monies are tied up. And at some level, almost every project that we have has a bearing on how much leverage dollars that our partners can get from the feds and to a lesser degree from the state and local organizations. But we want to always average at least 5-1 on a typical project. Mm-hmm. And with the federal monies tied up, we see that we may have a period of time where we're not going to have those kind of opportunities for a while, until some of this gets worked out. So over the last couple of months, we've talked about what some of the projects that we could push on and get moving. What are some of the things that are in front of the city that we could just do and it would involve little or no money, and we'll go over those later today. What are some of the things that are happening with our partners, Preserve Midway, and some of the initiatives that they're taking so that we can make use of this negative pause in funding or action on funding, but keep moving forward since we have not opened up our second bond of $5 million yet. We need to really talk in detail and be appraising you and the City Council about where we want to go. Is that a fair summary, Kevin? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll get back to the minutes and the meat of our meeting. For now, can I get a selection or a nomination to approve the minutes from the December meeting?
So moved.
Okay, approved and seconded. Mm-hmm. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, very good. For public comments, Brad, I don't have you on the agenda. No,
actually,
I have you. You're coming next.
You can be two and three together. Go for it. You're that important.
Let's slide. Let's go ahead and slide with that. And what kind of issues have you been thinking about as you and your mates over the last very, very busy month have had a chance to leave texts and emails and phone calls with?
Yeah, other than the flurry of comments today after the UDOT announcement that we touched on, a lot of, it really there's nothing concrete going forward, really trying to sort through what if anything we can
do. That's okay.
And which is challenging. I would just add that my conversation with people, what are the options? These are people who've said, we don't want any kind of a bypass. I don't even know that's even an option. Or is it down to option A or option B? Even if they have public comment, what, if anything, can be said that would change their minds? I don't know. They put so much work into this by now. It's a big question, whether the higher up, high-powered attorney, what good will that do? A media campaign? If that whole campaign is meant to just push them back to an option B, option A, if that's what people want, I don't know. So we've had a lot of discussion today about that. Otherwise, the holidays have been here. It's January 7th. We haven't done a whole lot since the last meeting, to be totally honest. And,
that's fair.
I think the next thing that we had on our agenda was this meeting with the city council to talk about where we're going, and then the open house. Is that?
Yeah.
Oh, so you'll probably touch on that. So.
Yeah, that's right. Good. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Any questions for Brad? Okay. Mayor, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
We are happy to have you here. You're always, always welcome. And I think that you've tried to follow our history and our actions up to this point. Off the top, or with some thought, are there some things that you would like to share with us about what you would like to see, specifically as an organization that makes recommendations to you and the city council? That's really what we have concentrated on. We have used Preserve Midway to open some doors and to get some conversations going, but we have had great success. We've got $5 million committed, and as you will find out, it takes a long time to navigate the grantsmanship and the partnership, and we could not do that without our two organizations, two nonprofits that support us, Utah Open Lands and Summit Lands Conservancy. And they're 501c3s, and their total job in life is to help individuals, organizations, communities, municipalities preserve land, the open space component of it. So they are not going to be with us tonight. I forgot to inform you of that, Woody. They're both busy with other things, and I'm sure this has taken precedent, but they will be at the February meeting, and we'll have more things to share. With that as a long intro, can you share with us some of your thoughts and observations, and anything we might use going forward?
Thank you for the welcome. Open space is very much supported in this community, as we all know. The city supports it. Kevin's passionate about it. I've followed it. I've been on hikes and walked the properties, and I'm grateful to see that because it's part of what I believe, and that's keeping Midway. We want to have view corridors. We want to have farmlands that look like farmlands, not somebody's backyard. So the support of the city won't change. City councils, having been a city council member, is completely in alignment and support of what you do. Appreciate the effort from both Pure Midway, this group. I've worked with the other two as well, and they work tirelessly. So just kudos, thank you, and you'll continue to have my support.
Thank you. As we move forward to some kind of a meeting, Kevin, have you had any new thoughts about how we might want to approach our discussion item on our 26 plans today that might get us started and get us rolling?
You're talking about the brainstorming kind of meeting? Not anything to duplicate kind of what's been said already.
Okay. Hugh and Michael, any thoughts about our new year and any additions to?
Not that we haven't really discussed in past meetings. No, nothing new, really.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the only thing that we would kind of say is that we do still have a couple of projects that may still be in the works. You know, we're just kind of in this little bit of limbo. We're not sure if and when things will happen. So, but as you said, we're just not on any kind of a fast. In the best of times, we're not on a fast time frame with these projects, right? But now it's slowed considerably. So I do know that toward the end of last year, it was kind of discussed, does this committee still want to meet every month if we're a little bit slower? Do we want to go to every other month? Do we want to keep meeting monthly but maybe expand what we do and look at other things to do? So for our purposes, that would be a helpful discussion to have tonight with this group here.
Okay.
Because we're not looking to waste anybody's time, but it really, you know, you're all volunteers, which we greatly appreciate, but it's a lot what you're looking to do, and then finding places that I think would be a nice fit. And we've discussed those in the last couple months.
Just to add, I think we probably covered this before, but one thing, when the funds become available at the appropriate time, it would be very, very helpful, I think, to the council to kind of have a sense and a pulse of the timing of projecting what's coming down the pipeline. I know it's impossible to nail down a specific date, but some type of guideline that would give us ample time to prepare for when we think the next bond measure needs to be sold. So we can kind of weigh that. The other one, and I know this is going to be part of a kind of brainstorming meeting, everybody's kind of suggested of, gee, how can we expand the Open Space Committee's recommendations to council, you know, maybe beyond just the simple bond-financed open space, but for the more larger discussion about open space and openness, of any recommendations that could be made to council of what we could do to encourage more of that for Midway,
okay,
versus only discussing open space bonds, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you, just as a general thought, you two, you three, mm-hmm, having something in March, in a active open house like we did last year, and publicize it well and be busy and have 100 or so people walking around talking to different partners? Is that, would that be a possibility then for something?
It might be. We had great turnout last year.
You did.
Amazing turnout. Mm-hmm. It might be nice to have an open house as much just to let people know why it slowed a little. You know, it was all this momentum for the bond, and why aren't they hearing about more things? You know, I think a lot of people do know that the federal government has pulled back on things, but in terms of if they're putting it together that it's affecting our ability to close on open space conservation easements, I don't know. We had a ton of questions last year, and, well, you all know because you were there and you were answering them, but I think it would be nice to answer some different questions that we're facing right now.
Well, and I assume that you all have had this happen. I've got three new mayors, just two blocks over, three new neighbors.
Neighbors. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, really? We got mayors? We do.
Yeah. Who, no offense.
Yeah.
Who moved in. Okay. And they don't know sick of about it.
Yeah.
Any of this. And so they are giving them credit, would like to get involved and see things, and they moved here for a certain set of reasons, and and to be able to announce that and spend a couple of dollars getting people informed and educated, I think that's a great idea.
I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah.
The other thing that we've always talked about is we've always talked about small parcels, which are not as affected by the federal funding. And this might be a time for us to concentrate more on those and see if we can do. We've got the bond funds.
Well, that and the Land and Water Conservation Fund has been funded. So there's $6 million right now. It's open right now. It closes next week. I'm applying for it. But it's coming around. They have funding for the next 4 years. And it's not a lot of money, but it's $6 million. And it's a 50-50 match, but at least it doubles whatever we spend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You all know about the Land and Water Conservation Fund?
Nancy, can you tell us about that?
It started in 1963, and it was funded by the federal government, and it's a matching fund to all 50 states, billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. You can't find really a county in the country that hasn't had a tennis court or open space or wildlife refuge that is built. I'm sure there's five or six of those here in Midway that paid for something in the days gone by. The golden handcuffs are you can't do anything else with it unless you replace acre for acre and value for value. Somewhere. The biggest one here, of course, is Wasatch Mountain State Park, 28,000 acres that are protected by the Land and Water Conservation Fund. And those are the legacies of those kind of activities of the day. So
it's great. It's a federal grant, and as I say, it's pretty involved when you write the grant. But I've worked with Evan, and I've worked with the crew, and they're really excited about working with Midway and working with Wasatch County. It's a local group that's actually overseeing the land and water conservation in Utah. So it's not out in Washington, D.C. Evan Bitchett is right in Salt Lake. It's through the Utah Outdoor Recreation. They've kind of sectioned them off, and they have their own team there, which is nice because they're locals. They understand. They know where Wasatch is. They understand Heber. They understand what's going on in Midway. So I think it's really a benefit to have someone that represents them locally. You know what I mean? Because they do want. I don't have to explain things. Right. They go, we got it. So it's nice, and it's a really good grant to go for.
And state grants, of course.
What's the name of the grant that you were talking about from 1963?
Land and Water Conservation Fund.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that would be good to get together on is there's been a little bit of negative press on this whole process. And I'm not sure that everybody understands it completely, has confidence in it. And I just think it would be nice to have that. I mean, we've been working on one for a year now. And I've had people ask me, why should I put myself through this if it's not going to happen? And I think that'd be a nice thing to mention or try to come from a positive perspective or spin. Because I know it will come up.
Okay, very good. Okay.
Portland, as we look at this sort of thing, especially in the context of the small parcels, we have a messaging issue and an educational piece that must be addressed, and that is we'll be changing considerably the leverage.
Yeah.
Instead of 8-1.
We have to change the leverage.
And we got to be able to explain to the people why the leverage is going down. And there's, legitimate explanations, but we've got to be prepared for that because we bragged on it, rightfully so. The leverage how we leverage those dollars over the years. So. Yeah. That's a huge change.
Yeah, you're right about that. And it should be a part and parcel to our conversation. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Anything else from your office about this particular thing?
No.
Okay. Kevin, anything from you? Okay. I think it might be helpful at this point if you will grab your minutes from the last meeting and turn to page 2, item C. This is where we went in the second paragraph, where we're talking about looking at missed opportunities. That's one of the issues. The other is speeding up our work on those projects that have been approved but aren't moving along as fast. Those are the two things we talked about. To that latter issue, Woody had some real good points about what we might be able to do by weighing in and lubricating, my word, some of these projects that have been approved, but they're stalled, they're halting, family member in Ohio doesn't agree, so they're not going somewhere. I think if we can talk about these in order, so I'll lead off with my own explanation, and then everybody can jump in. So the city owns a portion of Brugge Hill. It is now limited by what can be built there with the aspect and the location, one thing and another. 7 years from now, a city council could come in and change it and put that on the market and sell it, and it could be developed. Something else could happen, but we have talked in the past that would be a really good thing to secure right now, and it may have some benefits to landowners at the top of Brugge Hill and on the side of Brugge Hill who would like to partner with us in protecting some more of that land. And it's 10 times more complicated than the way I just explained it. But that's an option that's out there. Second is the hamlet and the background for the hamlet we've talked about a number of times. Mayor, the property on the east and the south side, that's the old city dump.
Yep,
and related property. It can't be developed. The hamlet owns it. We have communicated with them about putting an open space covenant on that property and then using that as an opportunity to discuss wildlife habitat improvement, maybe a perennial stream through that bottom section where it comes out of the ditch. Some people have talked about a dog park that would be put down there. Others have talked about working with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, who is 100 yards away, right along the river, what would be some things we could do for them. The family along the lane overlooking the southern portion of Midway City, including the ponds, there's some things that might be able to be done there to improve the visibility, to make it more appealing rather than just staring down at those ponds that are down there. I'm sure that the hamlet folks would have a bunch of interest. That's another example of something that's out in front of us that we might want to look at and see what we could do to preserve, protect, or otherwise to nail down that option. The final one is Cemetery Ridge. And Cemetery Ridge, as the name would indicate, is up by the city cemetery. We had a deal before. The deal was backed out of, and then a partnership and a sale formed. We felt as though we might have been leveraged a little bit to bring the price up, which was used in the middle of sale. These guys have managed the environment there. It's steep, the incline. There's not a lot that could be done with it under the best of circumstances.
Under current code, no.
But it might be an opportunity for us to have an intermediary approach those folks and say, you got Wasatch Mountain State Park, you've got the Gardner property down below, would you be interested? Could we work with you? Is there something that we could do to preserve, even though some of those areas could never be developed practically, they might be able to be. But those are examples of what we have thought of that we might be able to work on. So, let's kick this around a little bit. Any of those examples or others?
So Cemetery Ridge, give us an idea, Katie, what the existing zoning looks like. Can we cluster? Can we do PUDs? What can they do?
Let's bring that up a little bit. It's you can do very little of it. They've got access problems right now, and there's it falls under our sensitive lands ordinance. It's such steep slopes, you can't get back there. About the most you could do right now with the land that we were, as a group, were trying to get a conservation easement is to put maybe a rural preservation subdivision or something back there. Unless they got more land next to it that they could use for access to get back there. So we had a couple of proposals for development, none of which met our code. So we're like, no, you can't do that. Let's go to...
Well, that's a good thing. Yeah. And your code
Yeah, so our current code really makes it not, it doesn't pencil out for development. Yeah. For what the people who have come to us seeking to do, it doesn't pencil out.
This is primarily due to the sensitive lands, 25%.
Yes.
Slope or greater.
Correct. So part of it is that. Part of it is also we have code that says you cannot have a road that goes more than 50 feet or so. I don't know, 100 feet without... It affects getting back there, too. So it's not just the houses on the slope, and I'm sorry I can't rattle it off to you. I bet Michael could, because he's like that. Yeah, right. But yeah, so it would also affect the roads, so they can't kind of get that right. So we've kind of said, you know, there are other options for this property. And we've had the state park is interested in cooperating with something. There are a lot of... I think that there could be a lot of opportunity for that. It's my understanding that property is for sale right now, but for a much escalated price. Yes, I got it.
How many acres is it again? I forgot.
Pardon?
How many acres is it again? It's like 70, did you say at one point?
Yeah. I think it is.
Okay.
That seems high.
Okay.
That seems high to me. So I can't tell you right off what it is.
Didn't you say this is Kim Gardner's brother?
He's involved. He's been when they've come in to talk about things. Roland has been with the. It's Peter Hicks who is the owner. It's my understanding, unless they've sold it. It's Peter Hicks who's the owner. But anytime he's come in to discuss it, so it's over. Yeah, it's over at the end here. It's.
You're drifting.
No, it's really not that far. It's actually. It's actually substation. I think part of it was here.
That's right.
It's here, right?
That's where the for sale sign is.
Yeah, it's this part right here. So there is flat, but to get to any, you know, but then you start going up fast. The same owner owns property on the other side of the road here, which is not in Midway. This is not in Midway down here. This is in the county.
Yeah.
It's in the annexation boundary?
It's in the annexation boundary. We can control a lot through annexation. So this is very developable if you were allowed to have annexation. This is nice and flat, the level, this is all this other stuff. But in the county, you know, it's still, I think it's acre lots in the county. Mm-hmm. And they would really need our water. So... To make this doable, I think they would want to annex. We have a great legislative discretion when it comes to annexation. So, you know, another part of discussion is, you know, you want to do something here, let's talk about over here. So these are some of the discussions that have gone on in the past. We have not heard anything recently on any of this. So that's kind of where we are on that one. It's definitely still... on the wish list because it's great. It's proximity to State Park. It's so visible. It's proximity to, you know, even to Midway City infrastructure, the cemetery up there and other things too. It's just...
And you've already got decent hiking trails.
You do, yeah.
You know,
so the State Park, their goal is to create a trail that will go all the way from the park up there down to Soldier Hollow.
They're not going to go to Soldier Hollow.
They're not going to go that far?
They don't want them to go to Soldier Hollow, is what I've heard.
Oh, really? That's
they're going to
stop
off.
For me.
Yeah, that's what I heard a couple weeks ago. They didn't want the trail coming into Soldier Hollow.
Oh, now, interesting.
Have you heard that?
I have not heard that.
I haven't heard that.
Because Mia told me that. They do not want
Mia would know, yeah. I would think. So Mia is with Wasatch Trails Foundation. She's going to be at the next city council meeting, actually. I think she's going to be there to report on TAP funding that they got, how they've spent it. So we can ask her. I guess. Yeah. I can ask her before then.
Yeah.
I had not heard that, so.
I didn't either until
yeah,
she told me to meet.
That kind of surprises me.
He didn't want to connect the trails and have the issues.
Okay. Okay. So Cemetery Ridge in flux. I think it's definitely definitely something that we want to keep an eye on, but I'm not sure we can quicken a pace on that one. It's in the hands of decision makers that we don't control. If anyone knows them, go for it. You know, anyone has an in, please, yeah, feel free. We can't actually tell you to do that, but, you know, we're not going to tell you not to do it, okay?
I mean, you know, this is the side of the business that I understand. And so the real, you know, we raise money and everybody contributes in taxes and we go out and we buy land. There's other ways to get open space.
Yep.
And it's, you know, use these developers to your benefit.
Yeah.
So the real question is, when do we, when would we want to do something like that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, maybe you'd have to do it through a development agreement because you can't just do it right. through your regular code.
Yeah.
It sounds like they don't have much leverage at all.
Yeah.
But maybe there's a situation where we give them a little more than they got, but we preserve 200 acres of open space.
And we've told them we're open to those discussions. So, and it's yeah, we have. So it was left very much that way.
Yeah, you can probably more so do it through the annexation agreement because through that you can agree to
anything.
Make any condition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brad, what are your thoughts?
I'm still not quite sure, Katie. Cemetery Ridge, does it also include that little valley behind the ridge there? Is that a little, see that, when you hike back there?
Yeah,
show that, me. It's really steep on the front side. So,
yes.
Like the
flanders. Yeah, it does.
So how far back then does it go beyond that trail?
If you want to go to the county
Go to the county map. You can see it.
Parcel map.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That canyon could be, if I were a developer, that would be a great place to put in a ranch houses going up that little canyon. That's very developable, which also means it's probably still quite valuable. I don't know, Glenn, if that's what you were saying, that what would be the value of this land for the, I mean, it's valuable from a development standpoint, but that little canyon behind it is what's also a great open space for citizens in Midway to kind of walk through.
It's this balancing act of figuring out really what they have.
It's actually
you know, oh, we've got zoning for 40 units on this piece. Well,
that's
yeah, but
that's Eddington.
All of this is unbuildable because of the steepness.
Bear Mountain.
Mountain Mass.
We don't have capacity there on the water lines currently, so you're going to have to bring them from here.
So, click on that one.
Where I was going with this.
No, that's the state park.
That's a state park.
So, I think it might be this HBF Bear Mountain LLC.
You know, that.
Caitlin, you clicked on the one to the west there. That's the state park.
That's a state park. Utah Parks and Rec. Yep.
Doesn't it run just west of
Kansas? That's how they're going to get the traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a
lot. Yeah, so I actually thought it was, actually these two. I think it's this HBF Bear Mountain LLC.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I
can tell you how many acres it is. Now, hold on.
Where I was going with this, because I didn't know if that land there behind the hill was in it, but kind of like what it was, Mr. Smart, I forget his first name, from Camas.
Tom.
And if we're trying to be creative, is doing that trade-off. One thing I thought they did was very creative is giving developers or landowners higher density to do something with their land in return for some open space access up into that area. I mean, that's the kind of creative thing we might consider doing in this little corner of Midway with the developer and give them some easements or whatever. You know, he did some pretty creative things.
Be a great place for a trailhead.
Definitely.
Get some trade-off.
Yep. Mayor, what we're talking about here was we asked Tom Smart, who's on the city council in Oakley, to come over and inform us about how they handled their open space stuff and working with Summit Lands Conservancy. And they don't have a full-time staff person in Oakley, so it's a city council that has to go out and do work. And they had a 10-minute piece that he put together for us, showing us the things that they had done. Just to the point that Brad made.
They're
knocking on doors and can we work with you and would you do this if we do that? Mm-hmm. And actually kind of the polar opposite of what we have done here in Midway, having staff, having the committee. We wanted to educate ourselves. We've been at this for a while. What are some other tools in the toolbox that we might be able to use moving forward?
And they have a very definite plan because they're trying, they're doing an elaborate trowel system kind of along the river up there. So they have definite parcels that they want because it connects parts of this trail to this trail to this. So it's very well known what their strategic goals are, and they're just very upfront about it, and they go straight to the owners and they have discussions with them and said, well, how can we make this work? And they've been very successful.
Mm-hmm. Has this group done any of that? Identifying land and going after the individual owners?
We kind of started out with an emphasis on willing landowners.
Yeah.
If you came to any of the early open houses and everything else, that phrase got used extensively. And what it was that at that point we were hearing a lot of,
"You're going to take my land. You're going to take my land."
Mm-hmm. And so
everyone's going to take my land.
That was our answer, was to emphasize the willing landowner aspect of it. What that has done is sort of bifurcated this table.
Tied your hands.
There's the open space people, and then there's Preserve Midvale. They can do things we can't. We, because we've stuck with that willing landowner thing, that really prevents us from going out and saying, "Mr. Landowner, we're very interested," but it does not handicap Preserve Midway in any way, shape, or form.
And I think the other facet of that was not showing favoritism by saying, "We've gone to you, we've gone to my pal Joe, who's got this, here we've got this land." So I think part of it was that too. I think you're
artificially driving up the price.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think in some ways some things have changed from back then. I can remember being at those meetings, and this is a government taking of my land, and So there was a lot of emphasis in the direction from the city council back then. Was definitely that. I think you've moved off of that. Yeah.
It also helps from the perspective of that the city isn't going out and all of a sudden, the price they want is
exactly
this versus
a
third party, independent from the city. Staff and this committee can go out and have discussions and bring it, and the committee can say yay or nay in terms of whether that makes sense.
Right.
One of those flats was the classic example of the price going up and up and up. We used that quite extensively because Bonneville Flats was identified by Park City. Hey, we're really interested. Ka-ching! And that's something that we've made it pretty clear that we want to avoid.
Oh, bonanza flat.
I mean, it's, what's that, the sign that when you're sitting up there on the dais, it's about like fiscal responsibility. Yeah, we don't think that fits under the fiscal responsibility.
Katie, did you get how many acres were?
Yeah, I think it's about 30 acres.
30 acres.
And that's closer to what I thought. I thought it was high 20s, around 30.
It's a smaller area, though. I was thinking of like the whole kit and caboodle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I would say my feeling on this, because of the visibility, because of that sloping hillside, any development could have kind of an outsized effect on what it feels like, because you can see it from
everywhere.
I agree. Yeah.
But it would be so expensive to develop that.
It would.
Even if you could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so you got to play that card as well.
That's a good point.
You know, and that's
where the roads come in. It's difficult to get up to, and you don't meet our current code.
And you have a nice
that would come out in any appraisal for that.
Yeah.
They would take that into account.
Sure. In other words, an appraisal for land that's difficult to develop, and and because of the 25%, the sensitive land ordinance, whatever, would have to take all that into account. They don't look at that like they do a flat parcel that's fully developed.
Yeah. Could I make a request? Mm-hmm. Glenn, could I have you and Brad and Kevin set up a time where the three of you can talk about this parcel and what might be some conversations, some options, a way with a third party to approach them, get some details, get a sense of what's real and what is myopic, and if we could have an assessment for us of what might be the opportunity then we can get to, is there some other monies to help us analyze this?
Right.
What could we do with the city in terms of the P&Z stuff? But I think we need an assessment that we can get our arms around. Is that okay with the three of you?
I could suggest, Katie, you know, to give some... Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I can get you the information on it, yeah.
Zoning, density.
Yeah, I can get you all that.
Yeah, unit count, possibly.
Yeah.
Are you all okay?
And I can help.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I can do a fair amount of site plan stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Could I ask one question, Katie, while you got up there, we're all looking at it.
Yeah.
The northeast corner of that property, is it Kitty Corner 2? Is that Kim Gardner's
property? Yeah, he's up there. Yes, that's exactly right.
That's Snake Creek.
Yeah, this long one.
Okay.
This long one up there.
And is that the open space that he contributed? Well, it is.
He has not, so there's not a conservation easement on that yet. And it was not intended to come down this far, but he's now, he's according to Wendy, he's adding to it and plans to do the whole thing.
That's wonderful.
So,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful piece.
It's a beautiful piece of property.
Will we have access to it? You know, will the public have access?
It is right now.
Trails?
You have it now. This is the one that the city paid $1 million in bond fund to, and that he turned around and gave it back to put toward things. You know, not the improvements that were. Not the level of improvement that we're doing down at the other, on the one on 113, but things like, things to keep the trail going, maybe some amenity, maybe some things. But it is open and it will remain so, yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
If you haven't been there,
you gotta go.
I didn't realize we could do that.
It looks like when you walk down there.
To think like it seems close.
Yeah.
But they got a gate and a sign, and there's so many people and dogs down there, it's great. Yeah.
Until the Volks March, every time I went down there, I turned around because I felt like I was trespassing on private property. Yeah. And I just turned around, and I'm a rule follower, right? But Volks March brought me down there, so thank you very much. Yep.
Yeah. We're still on that.
Yeah.
Part of the data, that I think that would be useful. When we have the applications come before us, whatever, and you guys show a layout, a map, if you will, of the sensitive lands that are the 25% or greater, do you have or can you provide that?
Yep.
Okay.
Actually, do we have that? It's going to be a little hard to see. We're not going to have the actual property lines and stuff. Like when they came in with a development thing, I think it was their engineer who came in who had gone through and put all the sensitive lands actually with their proposal. I'm going to see if we still.
I've got software that will.
You got software.
It'll show the parcels and I can put the slope. It'll color code the slopes.
That would be awesome. Because we could do that manually, but it would be a very tedious process. Yeah. That would be great. And I'll get you the code that tells you what that means for our purposes. So between us, I think we got that.
Good.
Thanks, Glenn. That's great.
I think you'd also want to, if you have it, as much information on the easement as you have.
On what easement?
For the...
On Kevin's easement.
We don't have an easement on Kems yet.
The ditch.
Oh, for the ditch.
The irrigation ditch midway.
This is what
makes
so much of the property from a development standpoint kind of useless. Is you got that right in the middle of it.
Is that an active ditch?
That's not an active ditch.
It's not an active ditch. I mean, the ditch is still there. Let me clarify. There's not water running in it, but the ditch is there, and the irrigation company has an easement because the ditch is there.
Prescriptive or real?
I think real.
It's an old ditch.
It is an old ditch.
Yeah, not sure. I'm not sure that's the biggest thing standing in the way of development.
No, but that's a big headache. Because the issue comes up, too, because... The ditch, like the physical ditches there, a lot of people have used the ditch as a trail. So then you get the prescriptive easement question because everybody's going to use the trail. So that's why I flagged that.
That's good.
Because that's,
good Let's find out.
No, this is HBF yeah, too. I'm sorry. Hold on. That's one too.
Woody, could I ask 42? You no, to this is up near 70, an item right? A to kind of walk us into this? You've had some strong
I will know that
comments
down
about the need for us to move closer to conclusion as much as we can. Can you share some of your ideas just, about what's plausible for us to do in 26 on these and similar projects? While you're contemplating that, I did talk with or communicated with Wendy, and the Lundin deal is still in place, and there are a couple of things that are moving in the right direction. So that has sustained into the new year. So if you
my concern on those things before we ever talk about cracking a new bond, we've got to make sure the money from the old one is spent, and all of these projects are tied to that tied to the first bond. And obviously we can't say this will close by a certain date. But I think it would be helpful if are all of these Wendy's or is the Mitchell Kissel?
No, they're all Wendy's.
They're all Wendy's, okay. Yeah. If Wendy could give us her best guess.
We've asked.
And not something that,
yeah.
that we're prepared for the city council to vote to hold them to. Because I hate to, that just creates more problems, I think.
Yeah.
Right, but the other thing is, while we've committed the funds, we haven't committed the actual funds from the first bond. So I don't think there's anything that's preventing us from taking those, as long as we still have those funds that we've committed in the second bond that we could get to, I don't think it's keeping us from spending those.
By swapping it,
yeah. Exactly.
If something went.
Right, so, yeah.
Before mm-hmm. yeah.
Exactly.
Something
exactly. Yeah.
But the point is, I'm concerned if we get some projects along here and we think it's prudent to tap into the new bond, and then some of these falls through, the taxpayers are still paying for two bonds.
But I don't think we would tap the new bond until we completely spent every part of the first.
Until we've closed.
Exactly.
Yes, that's my concern.
You got it. Because that would make no sense.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
And that's why. It makes no sense.
Yeah, absolutely understand your concern.
Funds.
Yeah.
We haven't used all of them. Yeah. The first
one. And we don't know if the interest rate.
The
right.
And got any
which we got at a great, considering, it's a great price considering, but. But no, and everything I've heard in discussions with City Council is that City Council's position too, because this has come up a couple times.
Okay, and as we all know, each year as the taxable value goes up, right, the amount, to service those bonds, when we eventually do the second bond, is going to go down. So if it gets to, the bad thing is delaying these things. At the same time, that also helps. And bring that.
Yeah. Soon they're paying us.
If only it worked that way, right?
Cortland, I don't see the Pear Tree Llama deal on this list. Was that all? That was also.
So I thought at this point, Pear Tree Llama.
It's we've done everything we can do. At this point, they're just waiting for their funding. They need their federal funding. So they're in the same position. A lot of these are kind
first
of
first bond commitment, right? Mm-hmm. The last
yeah.
First
no,
it's our last.
Yeah, that was the last.
That was the last one. Yeah.
And two of at least two of our successful applicants have asked us to allow them to come back and ask for some more money, should the second bond open up. The Heart of Midway specifically.
Heart of Midway was the one.
Came in as a low ball.
That was a
and everybody
yeah.
agreed
yeah.
to.
And that goes back to the issue
right.
before about our leveraging. And as outside money, like federal grants and that sort of thing, if we get to a position where we need to close on this property, and in order to close on it, maybe we've got to reduce our leverage and put in a little mm-hmm. bit more money, then we got to have that discussion, because now we're looking at a situation where we could lose the property.
Right. And we always have that I think, that option to before the council.
Okay, well, that's an important one, and I suspect that going forward with budgets and concern at all levels of government of how money is spent, we may find the availability of government funds restricted, and so our leverage piece may have to be rethought. Mm-hmm. And explain why. We've got to explain.
I think some of that, Woody, I mean, you think about Kohler's. There was a shortfall with Kohler's, and it was one phone call to Mitt Romney, and Senator Romney dealt with it. We don't have Senator Romney anymore. So I think that that's a very, very likely scenario that you just laid out.
Yeah.
And I think we should be prepared for, rather than Mitt Romney being the one that they go to, I think, we should be prepared to be the ones that they go to.
We got 50 million gallons of oil from Venezuela, so we should be fine.
And I know everyone would agree, in terms of kind of the willingness and ability to do that, we can discuss here, but I don't think necessarily we want to be kind of floating that out.
Absolutely.
To all of these potential
absolutely
properties.
Agree.
Knowing that that's something that's completely at the discretion of council at the last minute to save a deal.
So just to clarify, I'm sorry, I think Pear Tree Llama was out of the new, because I thought Heart of Midway, the commitment is out of the new. It's we're at least a year away. It's not out of the original $5 million, just to clarify.
I think you're right.
It's committed against the new tranche.
$250
for Heart of Midway was the last of the...
Correct me, because maybe I've misunderstood on these commitments.
Yeah.
Are the commitments actually tied to a
certain tranche?
No,
they're not.
Okay.
They're not. But we're above the first $5 million if everything went.
We can move
right?
Them in
absolutely.
When they're ready
yes,
to close.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Yeah.
You're just giving
just
it a timestamp.
I just was thinking, okay, people are thinking we haven't spent the whole $5 million. We have spent the first $5 million. Okay. If it all goes. Yeah.
Cortland, I just wanted to add, you know, this is where Jared was going, but as far as closing deals in the pipeline, Pear Tree Llama should be on the list. Also, there's the property up Lime Canyon. I don't know what some land is calling the land that's being put into a conservation easement, the golf course property up there.
Oh, hold on. That's a totally different thing. And that's going to be done by April. Okay, so we don't have to do anything with that, guys. No money, no anything else. But they were supposed to be done by the end of this year. That was part of, you know, to put that approximately 19 acres that's up near Turnberry, the golf course. That's open space for the golf course, but as we saw, it's open space. They could, it's not protected by a conservation easement. So there's open space and open space and open space.
But I think you can go on the wind column if it closes.
Absolutely. So they have been given an extension through April. We have seen the draft conservation easement. They're working with Summit Lands. So it is happening. They had a little bit of, they needed a little bit more time because of financing on the property. This affects that, and they have to get consents and everything like that. But it is a requirement. They're extended now through April 1st, and that should happen, we hope.
Even though it looks like a strip mine. Right?
It looks like a bomb. Yeah, it does. A bomb went off. Yeah.
Why, I guess.
Yeah. But thanks for bringing that up. That would be a win. Yeah, yes.
That would show up on the map.
Yeah.
Yes, that would show up on the map.
Maybe you take that value and you layer it into all the others to make our leverage.
Help the leveraging. We did that. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, Kim Gardner's gift helped us a lot.
Woody, let me ask, coming back to you, do we need to have this in some written form going into our next meeting so that we have a position with the city council and the mayor and the public moving forward? Where do we want to take this conversation?
I just think the council needs to be read in on it and understand that that's our approach and what we're trying to accomplish, and if they've got a different idea, then tell us so we can...
There is no different idea. 100% in support of what you've discussed here.
We're good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, let's keep the option open so that if we have a public meeting, we're able to address this in an appropriate way from all sides so that we can get, whether it's the homestead property or whether ours, having answers. I know we've been challenged in the right way by different groups to be clearer about this or about that. And to me, this is one of those questions that I want to make sure. On the hands-on part, with the Heart of Midway, is there anything that we should do by way of meeting with those five or six people?
No, they're all on board. They're, as you might remember, Wendy actually, I mean, that was a tough one. We thought, how are we going to get federal funding? But Wendy, when she put in for it, got that $16 million, it was part of that grassland of special significance, and she included the Heart of Midway in that property, and that property in it, so funds would be attributed to that. So federal funding was now on the table. It was great, but that has been clawed back as well. So we're in a holding pattern on kind of, you know, a little bit Lundin, Heart of Midway, Pear Tree Llama. They're all kind of in the same boat. The only one that got their funding back was Mitchell Kissel.
Let me ask it in a different way then, if I could interrupt you. Do we want to let Wendy and Cheryl and their teammates handle these kind of things, or do we want to get one step more involved in reviewing where we're at and what our concerns are?
I think we've gone to Wendy and kind of asked for timetables, like Kevin asked. Like, is there anything we can do to help? And she's like, no, we're in a holding pattern. All of the landowners are still very interested, so I would rather not mess with it, right?
Yeah.
And I don't want to feel like we're putting pressure on, because Wendy and Cheryl are in an impossible position right now. So I think if we remain open to help, that's great, but I think other than that, I don't want to necessarily muddy the waters, is my personal view, but okay. I don't know how you feel.
And the only one not subject to that, mainly because we've gone out on a limb and doing a creative closing scenarios with
Is Lundin, exactly. Yeah.
In other words, that's just a phase one close.
Right. But if they want other federal funding, they're still in the same boat.
Yes.
I think maybe Craig, you and Kevin could speak to this more than I do. I think one of the ways perhaps you could help the city council best, my feeling in hearing city council is, just as the mayor said, they're all on board in what this committee is doing. And it's been a very good working relationship. I think one of the ways this committee could help is doing something like an open house and doing things like getting information out to the public, maybe curing some of the negative, you know, feedback that may not be some misinformation. I think maybe doing some things like that, it's easier for somebody not the city council to give this information, because sometimes I think it may have a different weight and tenor coming from an open space committee than it does coming from the city council. So I think that's a very strong way that.
Okay.
That's my two cents on that.
Any more questions about any of this? Anything that you can think of that one or two or three of us need to roll up our sleeves and get after here the next month?
The only thing I wanted to say about the open house was maybe this one is done structurally a little bit different. Where, yes, we break off into smaller groups, but maybe we have
general discussion first.
Which
is
really
how the very
that
first one was done, actually.
Oh.
And maybe that would be good to go back to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Katie, if we don't have this, I think it's probably something we ought to be putting together. And that's something like this, a big map, and a big poster. We're supposed to do it on a PDF first, obviously, where all of the closed and those to for which we have funds committed are color-coded on that map.
Yep.
You guys did that.
We did that.
We had one before.
We've done that, yep.
That's
something we need to work on.
It's still going again. I'll come over.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, totally agree.
Yeah. The question is,
right? If we can, okay. Yeah, definitely.
Surely?
All right.
Totally agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
thank you for
that. Generate some,
that fell off my radar, sorry.
Some interest from other landowners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me check my notes here just a sec. So we can expect in February we will have presentations from Wendy for sure, and I'll check with Cheryl with Summit Lands Conservancy to make either she or one of her folks are going to bring us up to speed as part of our new year, okay?
Yeah.
Is there anything else for that? And then, there is one other thing. We're going to be in front of the City Council. So sometime in February, do we want to have a work session, Kevin and Mayor? Do we want to go in front of the regular meeting and share some of what we're talking about here? What's your instinct about that step so that we can be approaching February and getting our appropriate sleeves rolled up for those conversations?
So my thinking is you'll have two new council members. So kind of an FYI of what we've done, what we're working on, and why we're where we are at is adequate.
Yes,
me too.
And then
agreed.
When there's other items later, come back again.
Okay.
Because the one person that was elected is 100% on board with this. Mm-hmm. Andy Garland supports open lands completely.
Mm-hmm. And then this is your replacement that
correct.
You're talking about.
And we'll know that
we don't know
by
that
the 20th.
Yeah.
And is that going to be appointed or is that a separate election?
There's a vote.
It'll be appointed by a vote. So it will not be a separate general election. It'll be appointed by a vote of the City Council.
Okay.
Not a general election.
The 20th.
No, February. Okay. That's what the city website says.
Oh, February 3rd?
February 3rd. They're supposed to submit their application by the 20th.
Went on board online yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The city council that's left will vote as to who takes my seat as city council.
Okay. All right. So our February meeting, then, we will have a segment about getting ready for both city council presentation. And then also, a month later, our open house. And to your, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you want, building space goes really fast for town hall and community center.
Say, yeah.
So, if you have an idea for when you want an open house, or do you want me to ask Camille what dates are available, and that
let's
will determine
Camille.
When our...
probably will happen.
That's
probably
the better way of doing it. And are we going to do it Saturday midday? That seemed to work
that
so well last
time. Well.
I think it's people are off.
If you want a Saturday, you need to talk to Camille tomorrow.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I'll talk with Camille, and I'll just circulate by email dates. I'll talk with you first, and then we'll talk. Okay.
And if that's full, then we can go to Brad's house because he's got the big garage.
He does have a nice place.
We've got the indoor stuff.
And pretty soon a conservation easement across from him. So it's going to be lovely. That looks like a bombed out place, but
I think we also could make some kind of announcement to the public to come to that meeting, the city council meeting, and maybe start the conversation with folks.
Okay.
That same list of where we've been, where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Invite the public.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Because we don't normally get a lot of attendance unless it's the people trying to accomplish something. But the
it's feast or famine.
The most attendance.
I remember.
We're definitely,
And is there a definite date in February?
Few people there.
Is there I can tell you when the city council meeting is.
Just one second, folks. Let's get this nailed down and then we can. So our.
So do you want to come to the. Which city council meeting do you want?
After the election has occurred. So it'd be
17.
So you're going to have come the 17th,
Okay, February 17th?
Mm-hmm. So I'll ask Brad to put you on that agenda.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. That work with everybody?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That work? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Steve, was there anything else? Well, let me back up. From our minutes, again, with our list, was there anything else that we need to be thinking about, looking at, or otherwise anticipating for 26 and beyond that we haven't talked about today?
We didn't talk about taking on the new task of maybe evaluating zoning.
Mm-hmm. Evaluating what?
Zoning.
Zoning?
Zoning.
I don't know if that you want us dabbling in that or
no,
not.
No, I actually think it's a good idea, but I think it'd be great to have a little bit with a new mayor and new council person coming on. I'd like a little more direction from council as to what their thoughts on that before we start going down.
Yeah,
and I'd like to see how they feel about that because it's really their call.
It is, yeah.
So maybe we're a little premature for that.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, all right, we'll file that away. Any other items that you want to bring up or question right now? Ordinarily, most of our meeting is about property issues with our two nonprofits that we work with. But the last couple of months, we've really rolled up our sleeves, or tried to get our house in order moving forward under the theory of you don't know what you don't know. And we've got new players, and we've got new people, so we're doubling down on getting ready for more success in the future, if that makes some sense.
Sounds good, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anything else?
Does Steve have anything for county or no? Mm-hmm.
Steve, anything specifically from the county that you wanted to...
No, we had just one very brief meeting for the attendant. I think it was right at the end of the voting.
Yeah.
At that time.
Okay.
Assignments. I'm trying to maybe Nancy can tell me the name of the person that we've hired for doing the marketing.
Joan Gould, maybe? Gould?
I would do her, yeah.
I would highly recommend it. She's done a really nice
she's
job.
She's excellent.
She is. So
yeah.
I know she's been working with you.
She has, on the e-bikes. She's great.
It might be worth a few minutes of her presenting to us and show us what she can do. And what would be nice, probably for the open house, to be able to have that available.
You want me to contact her and talk to her? I can do that.
Either way,
that'd be awesome, Nancy.
That's a great idea.
Well, you're so busy. And I'm not busy.
No.
I will do it. I have to talk to Joan anyway about a project. So I will talk to
her. Why don't
you ask her?
And
on the
next meeting, I'll make sure that we do that.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Please say I got a project for you.
Yeah.
Could I also ask you, this? I think this would be an important thing. Can you just do a summary for us at our next meeting about the world of grants currently? We're going to get asked a lot of questions, and you're the expert in the Wasatch Front.
Few of the federal ones are opening up a little bit, and the
but
USDAs
if,
are opening up a little
bit. It could be just an
bit.
ABCD, and what are the categories that might be most
and a timeline, so we know. That's
that would be really
I can do that.
With the city council, we've got to make use of your expertise. With city council, if we have an open house, you will have your own table, I guarantee you, at some point, where you can answer questions in confidence with people who want to know about that.
That'd be great. I can talk grants all day.
Okay.
This is your bread and butter, right?
And you bring your two or your three dogs.
I'll bring all three of them. Why not?
Do you have a new one?
No, I'll bring the bull mastiff that I take care of, the 185-pounder.
It's a big dog.
Just to step back to Joan again, one of her things here is that she says she needs strategies to keep communities informed and connected. So I think that she would be ideal.
I agree with you. Everything that she's done for me has been awesome.
She's very talented.
Yes, she is. And willing.
Yes.
You know, she just wants to get into the meat of stuff. It's really a lot of fun to work with her.
I think if we're going to do that with private, you should probably book her right now.
And that would be for the open house, and that would be in March. Correct.
And if it's okay with all of you, I'm going to take the initiative and follow up with the Hamlet Council and just see where that is at and if it's worth us moving forward. And I will bring along either Michael or Katie so we can be informed about that. That's one of the things that I've raised some dust about, so I'd like to follow up on that. So if that's okay with all of you, I'll go ahead and follow up on that in the near term, okay?
I do have one announcement. Since the Center Street Trail is done, I'm going to go for the reimbursement, so you'll get about $750,000 in about 3 weeks.
You're awesome.
Isn't that cool?
It's a really nice gift.
They did such a beautiful job.
Yeah.
In fact, I actually go around and stop my walk up just to go see people on it. I get so excited. So
I
just
wanted
a lot of work. And they did B.D. Bush Excavation is one of the best. I mean, everyone has their issues, but I've worked with them before and they're just excellent. They're just on top.
They love Midway too, so it helps.
Yeah, it really does. Really, I mean, I would.
Very good relationship. B.D. Bush.
I have a motion to adjourn, please.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everybody.
I think Nancy beat you on the second.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yep, that was quick. Nice job, guys. Way to be done by 7. Well, we tried to be done by 7:30. So they're just, nice job, guys.
Well done.
No, I'm just having it.
I know.
Good to be here.
I won't.
And I sit down and make it.
This weather.
I'm on appointment.
It's so wrong.
Once I get that one, then I know. You know how to get focused on it. So I will be doing that, but once I'm done sliding, then I'll just hang this over.
I don't think my body would like that.